If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
They said there'll be snow at Christmas. They said there'll be peace on earth.
Hi there, and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you. Welcome aboard the final 2013 edition of Radio Free Radio Free America. I keep slipping into old habits like that every once in a while. You know, it's just the way things go. Duke Brooks here. This is the Wednesday, December 18th edition of Radio Free America on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Chat room is open for business. I am very, very glad that you are here with me tonight, and I wish you and yours a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Merry Christmas, one and all. God bless us, everyone, said no liberal ever in history. Okay? I mean, seriously. 718-305-7176. Let me apologize in advance for the sound quality, and the reason behind that is that I was not able to reach the studio using Skype tonight. I don't know why. I don't want to get too, like, inside CNN and BTR and everything here, but every once in a while, it seems, once every 2 or 3 months, when calling in, using Skype, one gets the dreaded fast, busy signal of death, you know, the one that goes like that. You know, so I just decided to whip out the not-so-smartphone and go ahead and use that. You know, what else can you do? The show must go on, as they say. Speaking of the show, we actually have some interesting things that are going to be taking place tonight. Certainly one of them is that Michael B. Smith, my good friend and partner, who is the founder and chairman of our small company, will be calling in a short while. He and I will be speaking, and you as well, concerning our Christmas special that will be airing 6 days from now. Lots of great traditional American Christmas music. You know, we're talking Nat King Cole doing the Christmas song. I think he probably has Steve and Edie doing Happy Holidays. You know that one? And all, you know, Burl Ives, Andy, all the great, the Carpenter, you know, just the great, excellent Christmas music that you grew up with. Now, at the beginning of this show, for a few seconds, and you will hear it again at the very end of the show, which is about an hour and 56 and a half minutes from now, I played a brief piece of Greg Lake's song called I Believe in Father Christmas. Greg Lake of Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. And I think at some point in the 1980s, he came out and he wrote the song himself and sang the song, and it is just I think it's one of the greatest Christmas songs ever written. I think the words are a little weird. You know, a typical kind of rock and roll personality who is complaining about the mythology of Christmas and the commercialization and all that kind of stuff. You know, I don't know about you, but isn't it time that people stopped griping about just about every, you know, especially griping about traditions in Western civilization that have been along for, have been with us for many, many, many years. Like, you know, the Christmas tradition, as we celebrate it now, has been with us for almost a millennium. And I think by now everyone knows that Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, who was born in Bethlehem, Jesus was not born on December 25th of the year 1. Apparently, a lot of scholars, and I'll be honest with you, I am no Bible scholar. I really don't know as much as I would like to know about ancient history. I was reading about Carthage the other day, and I thought that was extreme. I mean, there's a civilization that does not exist anymore. They had outposts in the southern Mediterranean. That was their main city in what is today Libya. They had an outpost on the southeastern coast of the Iberian Peninsula on the northwestern side of the Mediterranean in what is now Spain. And Hannibal Barca took, and this was, I think, around 80 B.C., 77 B.C., something like that, took his army across the Alps to attack Rome. I mean, the Carthaginians don't exist anymore. You can ask General Patton about that. About 6 minutes after the hour now, 718-305-7176. So, you know, anyway, incidentally, I thought I'd mention there is, you know, there's a film out there called Gods and Generals, and the movie was not quite as good as the earlier Civil War movie by Ron Maxwell, but there's a scene in which a Christmas tree is being taken to a home that is occupied by Stonewall Jackson. I don't think the Christmas trees really became popular in this country until about 20 years after the Civil War. Let's see if we can find out. Christian, is that you, my friend?
Yes, it is. Hey, how you doing? Listen,
hey.
As far as where these Christmas trees came from, it turns out that niggers couldn't afford fake trees, so they had to cut down real ones. And
oh, okay,
these niggers,
sir. Well, you have a wonderful night. I have no idea who that person was, but, you know, I've got to be honest with you. We simply do not allow that kind of talk on my air. You know, that's all there is to it. I don't let it on anybody else's show, on our network. And the fact of the matter is there is no, absolutely no place for it whatsoever. I would invite my actual friends to text me, but since I'm using my phone to be on the air tonight, which is why it sounds doubtless as bad as it does, I don't think that that's a very good option. In fact, I think I'm going to have to plug in my phone and charge it while we're on the air. You know, anyway, I did mention Greg Lake earlier. I mentioned that he was had kind of a typical rock and roller sort of outlook towards the traditions and the meaning of Christmas, even though he did write a just an absolutely wonderful song. He is not the only rock and roller that is going to be featured on the air tonight. Yes, we have Lisa Richards. She will be joining us later on. And Lisa will be, we've got some news about Lisa Richards. Lisa reminds me very much of William F. Buckley. And I believe that Bill Buckley, who was a friend of my dad's, was from Connecticut. I'm not positive, but I think he was. I met him a couple of times when I was a young guy, when he was running for mayor of New York City. And Bill Buckley, ran as a conservative for mayor of New York, I think, in 1966. I think that's when, I'm not positive, but I think that's when he ran. And he was asked, what will you do if you win? And Bill Buckley, having just a tremendous wit, said, I would demand a recount. I mean, that's, you know, what a great guy. Let's go to the phones. You are live on Radio Free America. Who's this?
Oh, hi. You were talking about the Civil War earlier.
Uh-huh. Who is this, sir? Who are you?
My name's Ira.
Iris?
Ira. I'm from South Plainfield, New Jersey.
Oh, Ira. How are you, Ira? Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you, too. I celebrate Hanukkah, but that's a different story, you know. I'm not politically correct.
I hope that you had a pleasant Hanukkah, the 7 days of light. You know, I'm very glad that you're calling, and you wanted to talk about the Civil War?
Yeah, actually, you know, I do genealogy for a living, and, you know, it's interesting to, you know, trace back the ancestral lineages of people, and I've traced several, you know, families, you know, lineages back to the Civil War, and, you know, a lot of them, you know, appear to have, you know, in my area at least, you know, to have served in the Civil War on the Union side, you know, because I live in New Jersey, and, you know, a lot of people who are in New Jersey have been in New Jersey for, you know, hundreds of years, you know, except for myself, of course, but and the other immigrants who came later after the Civil War. But, this one family that I was tracing, you know, they had an ancestor who was in the Civil War, and, you know, he fell off the guard tower and died.
At Andersonville.
Yeah, actually. Yeah, he was a Confederate guard, and he fell off the guard tower.
And died, yes, exactly, just as Pat Buchanan said. Thank you for calling, Ira. Now then, I want to take a real quick break. Lisa Richards is going to be joining us in a moment. As you are probably aware by now, our network, conservativenationmedia.com, is growing. There's no question about that. And we were looking for a great way to expand our lineup, and we couldn't think of a better one than to give our very own engineer in residence, Bing Fisher, his very own show. Uncle Bing Fisher, you know Uncle Bing, right? He's been an engineer all of his life, and engineers have an insight on things. They have a way of looking at things, and Bing certainly does. He brings his engineer's insight and his love of America to American by Design, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central on conservativenationmedia.com. So stay with Conservative Nation Media 7 days a week, since we are in the act of making some big changes and we are just getting started. American by Design with Bing Fisher, Sundays at 6 Eastern, 5 Central on conservativenationmedia.com. Where America always wins. And I want to welcome my good friend Lisa Richards, the purveyor and proprietor of Rock and Roll Radio. Lisa, what's happening, hon? How are you?
Hey. Hi. Nice to talk to you tonight.
Well, nice to talk to you, too. Do I sound okay? Because the rumor going around, at least that was passed along to me by Jennifer Meadows, is that I didn't sound very good last night. There was a lot of scratchiness.
I can hear you tonight. That happens sometimes on my show too. That there's scratchiness. I think it might be the Skype or it's so hard to say. Probably because we're live streaming.
That could be it. And you know, I also think that Obama does not like people like you and I.
No, he doesn't.
His nomenclatura does not like people like you and I. His apparatchiks do not like people like you and I, and I think that they're doing everything that they can to try to shut us down, and that's what I think it really is. Now, that's
absolutely,
just,
I agree.
You know,
yeah,
and,
I.
You and I are old school anti-communists,
absolutely,
and that's one of the things I really like about you, because.
Thank you.
You know, the most of our conservative friends here you know, when I say things like Harry Hopkins was a communist, many of them will say, okay, I'm sure, who exactly was Harry Hopkins? I mean, most people just don't know that much about the history of our parents' time, our parents' generation. And as you are aware, Harry Hopkins was Franklin D. Roosevelt's closest advisor.
Yeah.
And Harry Hopkins, you know, there have been some people that have said, well, they actually went through the membership rolls of the Communist Party of the U.S. and he was not a member. Well, you're right. He was not a member of the Communist Party of the USA. He was rather a member of the Communist Party of the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics,
right,
and the number one advisor to FDR was under the direct discipline of Lavrenti Beria and Molotov and Stalin, and that's who they had in the White House. Did we have anybody in the Kremlin? I don't think so. Listen,
no, and FDR knew all this. I mean, Whitaker Chambers, Alger Hiss, no, we know then what happened with Whitaker Chambers, but still, FDR knew all of this.
Yeah, oh, good. Of course he did.
And
Lisa,
did he care?
I'm going to ask you to, can I ask you to stand by one moment?
Sure.
I do have to take a break, and we will be rejoining you in about 2.5 minutes. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. Duke Brooks here, wishing you a Merry Christmas. Stay right where you are. More coming up with Lisa Richards and your calls after this.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
Dr. Martin Luther King said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere, and the worst injustice imaginable is the wrongful conviction of an innocent person. I'm Sam Thurman, host of A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com. We take a look at what happens when innocent people go to jail as a result of bad evidence, wrongful prosecution, and dishonest witnesses. We use real cases of actual Americans who've been wrongfully convicted. A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays 8 Eastern, 7 Central, conservativenationmedia.com.
Listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Yes, indeed. Thank you very much, Gary Duran and Audie Amos. That's a piece from around 1996, and I still listen to that album regularly. I absolutely love it. Lisa Richards back with us, Lisa, starting,
yes.
I think, the first full week in January.
Yes.
Thursday, January 9th, you are going to be on the air with us starting at 8 o'clock every Thursday night, and I am extremely excited, and I hope you are.
I am, too. Yes, I am. this is good because we are spreading the authentic conservative message of Bill Buckley, Goldwater, Reagan. Got to get back out there. If Buckley were alive today, Paul Ryan, you would have a footprint on your rear end right now. You'd be face down on the Capitol Hill steps because Buckley would have said, you put what in your bill? Get out of the party. You're out. Get out. I remember the days when Buckley would say, get the hell out of the party. We don't have anyone like that. Now we have Reince Priebus. I won't make fun of your name because...
Hang on a second. Reince is a personal friend.
Okay.
However, he is a very good guy, but I'm not necessarily going to disagree with what I think you were going to say because I
that he's not
you know you're
up.
Right.
Tough. He's not being
you are right. I'm not going to disagree with that. There are certain ideas in the and I spoke with Jennifer about this earlier today. There are certain ideas that are out there in what some people would refer to as the mainstream GOP establishment that I think have no business being associated with the Republican cause or Republican ideals.
If you have the conservative idea, sometimes some of these guys they don't have that. That toughness that Buckley and Reagan had, they don't know how to express it. And it's like, come on, Reince Priebus, you know, stand up and, you know, I don't know him personally, but I would look at him, I would look at others and say, oh, Michael Steele, you're letting them walk all over you, you know. And
well, Michael is a very nice guy, and I've known him since 2003.
You can see
Mike
he's
was
a nice
the
guy.
Lieutenant Governor of Maryland, and
yes.
And he and I got to be kind of, and he is a great guy. In fact,
Maryland
I think it was,
him.
Yeah, oh yeah, but well, you know, he went to either Morgan State or Coppin State, which are HBCs. Historically black colleges in Baltimore. One or the other, when he was running for the U.S. Senate, and the black people in the audience were throwing Oreo cookies at the lieutenant governor of Maryland, who is a black guy. Now, the woman who kind of engineered Michael getting his appointment as chairman of the Republican National Committee is a pretty good friend of mine. And eventually she and I both, you know, I talked to her on the phone, like, I guess around 2008 or 2009 or something. And we both came to the conclusion that Michael is a great guy and he's a pretty solid conservative. But he was not the right guy for that job. Just because you're the right guy for one political
right.
job doesn't mean you also are for another one. You know?
I mean, yeah. Let's
take a phone call.
I look like
here.
They walked
take
all
a
over.
Phone call?
Sure.
Yeah, I think they did. Let's take a phone call. And Rob, is that you? You're on the air with Lisa Richards and Duke Brooks. How are you? Merry Christmas. All right, well, I think Rob has gone, Lisa.
Did you say the wrong
thing?
But keep saying it. Merry Christmas. And you people out there are not going to stop us.
That is what I say to people. You know, earlier tonight I had to go to the Department of Motor Vehicles in Delaware for car registration. And I said Merry Christmas to people, and people looked up at me, and they smiled, and they were like,
yes,
they were surprised.
Want that.
Oh, yeah, right, Merry Christmas.
Yes,
nobody
because
says it enough anymore.
No, right, because you have, what is the percentage of atheists in this country? See, here's the problem with democracy. It's either majority rules or minority. So when you have a group that says it's going to lord it over the rest, so whether it's the majority or the minority, look, the minority that rules in Great Britain, the aristocracy, the majority is the rest. So look, Stuart Varney will say it every morning. I grew up in Britain under a system where, because I was not born an aristocrat, I was never going to make it in life. I came here after high school, he said, and I worked, and he said I could work at anything and make money at anything. Good grief. So we have atheists trying to, upstairs, downstairs us.
We're accepting it, though. It is getting to be like that. There is almost like a small cabal of people that have attained extremely specialized knowledge. And in this case, it is the extremely specialized knowledge of the law and of the courts and of the precedents and the precedential way in which American law is developed. And those people are making decisions that, because of the knowledge they have and because of what they have done for a living during their entire adult lives, they have absolutely no connection or concept whatsoever with the average person, somebody, you know, like you and me or my girlfriend or our neighbor Bob from across the street. I mean, you know, these guys, John Roberts has, you know, when was the last time that guy sat down and listened to a couple of people talking about the way they think this society is moving? How could it, just a couple of average, Joe Sixpack how on earth could that guy understand where the whole rest of the country is coming from?
Even say that Obamacare is constitutional and use the excuses that he did, which shocked Constitution scholars like Mark Levin and Jay Sekulow, these guys who have the same type of education as John Roberts, and their jaws dropped. It was like, and everybody had to say, is he just doing this for political correctness because this is the first black-skinned president and he doesn't want to be called racist? What about the law? What about the law? Because this is hurting everybody. I don't care what your skin color is. Obamacare is going to hurt it already is hurting everybody.
Yeah, so, everybody except the people that put it into law because they and their staff members and their friends in Washington are all exempt from it.
Right. They are completely exempt. Oh, yes, you're exempt. Oh, gee, what does that sound like? Oh, yes, the aristocracy, the House of Lords. Yes, you are exempt. The kings, they've turned themselves into an aristocracy. Washington, D.C., they're the House of Lords, and their aristocrats are out in Hollywood. And we are all supposed to lockstep in line with whatever they say. Sorry, but all of us are Mr. Smiths. And we are not going to lockstep in line. And yes, when we look at you like, you look at me like you're looking at a monster. No, I'm looking at you like I'm seeing a real monster, a politician.
Well, we have had some very, very, very bizarre opinions and statements from the justices of the U.S. Supreme Court over time. One of the most ridiculous and absurd things, I think it might have been Mr. Justice Brennan, who on one occasion 10, 15 years ago or something, had made a statement either in an opinion or elsewhere that said basically there are times when democracy just won't do. That was another that was one. The Kelo versus New London, Connecticut ruling.
Oh, don't even get me started.
Said, Yeah, I know. It's unbelievable, isn't it? Let's try to take this call very quickly.
Sure.
And let's see. You are live on Radio Free America. Who's this?
Hey, this is Johnny. You know, this all worked until the niggers came into the picture.
Okay, Johnny, thank you very much, my friend. God bless you and your activity. Anyway, let me take a brief break here. And can you hang with me for a few more
Absolutely.
Minutes?
Absolutely.
All right. I'm going to be getting back to you in just a moment. We are just about at the bottom of the hour now. And I'm going to presume, for the sake of argument, that if you are listening to my voice right now on conservativenationmedia.com, that you yourself are a conservative. I'm looking at that chat room, and I can just feel the patriotic conservatism oozing right out of it. I love it. And if you're a conservative, you love America just like we do, and you probably don't want to get caught short in case our beloved leftist government in D.C. drops the ball and leaves our country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Now, since that is the case, you're going to want a Supply Depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline to those essentials is right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That's going to take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds, starting right now. So go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution. This is the place where America always wins, where Christmas is still celebrated, and I still do not let people on the air who are going to say stupid, mindless, moronic, idiotic, simpleton-type things. We're going to take a brief break now. More with Lisa Richards and your calls coming up, so don't go away.
This is the sound of a brand-new outdoor grill being hurled off a 20-story building. Now a stylish glass coffee table. An electric guitar. These are the things you could enjoy all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Visit EnergySavers.gov and get tips on how to save energy and money. Then do things like switch to Energy Star light bulbs or Energy Star appliances, then you could save hundreds of dollars a year. So this doesn't happen to the recliner you've had your eye on, or this to the treadmill on your wish list, or this to the shiny new bike your kid's been asking for. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
I started going cold turkey. Well, at least when I'm in the car.
I know I shouldn't do it, but it's so hard to stop. That's why I hide it from myself, so I won't be tempted.
I used to do it all the time. I stopped by locking it in my glove compartment.
My friend used to do it way too much. Now I turn it off when we're in the car.
My solution is simple. I just don't do it.
There are lots of ways to stop yourself and others from texting and driving. How will you stop? Tell us at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Jennifer Meadows, your host on Grit and Grace. Please join us every Tuesday night from 10 to 12 Eastern for an honest look at the top political and cultural issues that are affecting Americans today. That's Grit and Grace for conservative analysis that is smart and entertaining. Tuesdays, 9 to 11 p.m. Central, 10 to 12 Eastern on conservativenationmedia.com.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here? You're listening to Duke Books on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Yes, alrighty. Yes, indeed. That is the way that we do things in broadcast. You're in, you're out. Hello, goodbye. Duke Brooks here. We are about 34 minutes into this final edition of Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. Final edition for 2013. I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea. You know, sadly, you're stuck with me until further notice, I guess. You know, that's basically it. Lisa Richards back with us. Lisa will be joining conservativenationmedia.com starting 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central on Thursday night, January 9th. And Lisa, I'm very excited. Besides the venerable old school anti-communism that you and I have so much in common, what else is going to be characterizing rock and roll radio?
Ah, yes. I'm a fur-wearing, meat-eating, gun-toting, Bible-bearing, proud conservative woman who wants the fair tax. We need to talk about that, people. Be educated. What is it? We need to know the history of our founders, but we also need to understand other governments. Because I hold a degree in political science, I will discuss what is the difference between us and Great Britain. So many people don't get the idea. We do not have devolution by way of evolution. But that's what Woodrow Wilson wanted. Every president could completely change every law according to his whim. That way society would change with every president. That's what happens in Great Britain, people. They have devolution by way of evolution because they don't have a written constitution. They do not have a working Bill of Rights. Yes, they have an 800-year-old Magna Carta. We do too, but out of that came our Declaration, then came our Constitution, which upholds nature's laws. So we do not evolve with time. When you evolve with time, what do you get? You get a bunch of aristocrats who are going to say, I don't think you should be making that much money. I don't think you should own that much land. I think you need to be giving us 50%, no, 75%. Well, maybe 80% of what you earned. People need to understand what's going on in Europe. Their laws. The Italian Constitution says you have absolutely everything is a right. You have a right to an education, a right to medicine, you have a right to a home, you have a right to everything. What happens? Their government falls before the 50-year mark. Of course, they keep getting the same two boob-pinching guys every 4 years,
yeah,
but their governments
yeah,
do not get.
I know.
Their governments don't last longer than 4 years because everybody says, well, I have a right to everything, so it just collapses. But then again, these are the same people.
Haven't they had like 70 governments since the end of World War II?
They actually have. The governments cannot last to the five-year mark before they are thrown out. But ever since 92. I guess it was about 92, we keep having, not we, they keep having the same two guys. But they are still communists. It has not changed. They are still communist fascists. They have not changed. They just changed their party titles to the Christian Democrats or the Christian Socialists. Why?
Right.
The wall came down in Eastern Europe and suddenly the Germans were saying, You're communist? You're fascist? Hey, Germany, they sided with you. The Italians did not side with America and Britain. But see, even the French said, so you're still Mussolini. So then you had Ponti and Berlusconi saying, oops, let's just change the title. It's the same. It is the same guys. Notice, people, they're 85 years old. They don't go away. They wear too much makeup. They have too much Botox. It's the same people in the party that have been there since the 70s. And they're communists, fascists. They have not changed. They have a horrible economy. Horrible. And their taxes, France is actually getting worse. They surrendered to 75%. I have friends that live there. They hate it. Why do they hate it?
Yeah.
They came here 1996. A friend of mine married a Frenchman, and she brought him over for a visit. He fell in love. Now, they still live there. He has Americanized his family. Oh, they love this country. When they came here, they could not believe the choice we have in grocery stores. They could not believe Home Depot. They said, this
That's
is
right.
incredible. They said, this
yeah.
is unbelievable. He saw something on his wife's parents' house that he had never seen in his life. And he opened the window, and he had to say it in French, and his wife laughed, and she said to her father, my husband says, wants to know what the screens are. They went home. His father-in-law showed him how to build the screen, took him to Home Depot. He fell in love. He said, this is incredible. I'm going to put screens on my 800-year-old house. His neighbors came. The neighbors down, this is way down in the French countryside that loves America because
yeah.
we saved them. The,
yeah.
the neighbors came to see. Well, the neighbors thought this was great. What is that? Well, that's what they do in America. They put screens. Well, what is the purpose? Well, it keeps the flies out. We can open our windows and not sweat in the summer. Oh, this is great.
Right.
How do we do this? Well, you have to go to America to a Home Depot. Oh, we can't have that here? they love America. Just come over and visit a few times, Europeans. You'll like it. I guarantee you'll like it.
When I was in France, I became friends with a gentleman who certainly is no longer with us, but his name was Jacques de Trudon. He was a count, and all of his friends had been with the Maquis during World War II. They were all resistance fighters.
Oh, okay.
And one of these guys, this was when I was about 19, which was a very long time ago.
They saved about 10,000 Jews from being gassed, that resistance movement.
Well, the resistance, although France has always had kind of a tenuous relationship with the Jews, however.
Yes, they have.
This one friend of the count was an older guy. He must have been, that guy was probably 65 or 70 when I met him in 1975, and he had been with the resistance, and he carried on his right hand, as if I recall, a very, very serious and obvious battle scar. And he liked me right away because I was an American. And unfortunately, there are a lot of places and people in the world that America has liberated
yes.
where the history books are being rewritten.
That's
anyway,
true.
Listen, I've got to go. But you and I will be speaking again
Absolutely.
At some point very soon, and I am very, very excited
So
about
I.
rock and roll radio being on Conservative Nation Media starting on Thursday, January 9th at 8 Eastern, 7 Central. Merry Christmas to you, my friend.
Merry Christmas to you and to all of your listeners. I look forward to being on radio. God bless.
Thank you very much. God bless you as well and your activity. Oh, Lisa is great. I've wanted to have a real serious old school right wing anti-communist like me. We're going to take a real quick break here in a moment, but let me just mention this to you, and you may already know this, and if you don't, you need to check it out, because those of us here at conservativenationmedia.com like to start off the work week every Monday in a very big way. It's called Inside Tennessee with my good friend Dave Vance. Now, even if you are not from the volunteer state, which is Tennessee, the last state to leave the Union during the Civil War and the first one to come back in after the Civil War, I can tell you that the issues that affect Tennesseans are now spreading out all over the country. Dave Vance brings his veterans' insight and the most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday, so make sure to check him out. It's brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. I was saying a moment ago, Lady Michelle in the chat room agrees with my assessment of Inside Tennessee. Bless you, my friend. I have always wanted to have another real serious old school anti-communist on the air, because the fact of the matter is that's what I've been since I was like 5 or 6. You know, there is a really great movie, and I love the film, called All the President's Men, with Robert Redford and Dustin Hoffman and Jason Robards. You know, it is a very good film about the Washington Post reporters that broke the Watergate story. Now, one might parenthetically, Robert Redford played Woodward, Bob Woodward, and Dustin Hoffman played Carl Bernstein. Anyway, it's actually a very good film, even though I think those two guys were a couple of left-wing pukes, but I digress. There's a scene at the beginning where the 6 Watergate burglars who had broken in to the offices of the Democrat National Committee, I believe on June 17th, 1972, my mom's birthday, to bug Larry O'Brien's office, these 6 guys were arrested that night, as you're aware, because Frank Wills, the security guard, discovered that they had taped the latch on one of the doors so they could come in and go out and blah, blah, blah. The radio that G. Gordon Liddy had in the hotel across the street did not work. Anyway, they got caught. So word of the fact that they get caught comes to the Washington Post, and they send Robert Redford, playing Bob Woodward, down to the District of Columbia Arraignment Court, where they are arraigning hookers and petty criminals. And here these 6 guys in suits come in. And one of them is named Bernard Barker, and the judge says to him, "Mr. Barker, what is your profession?" Or he says, "Please state your name and your profession." And Bernard Barker says, "Bernard Barker, anti-communist." And I thought to myself, you know, that is a great line, and it is a great profession to be in, and I think I'm in it. Anyway, we've got, we're about 12 minutes now until the top of the hour. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. More of your calls coming up after this. Don't go away.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm place on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy backsplash.
When I grow up, I want to be a bike that races around the country.
When I grow up, I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
When I grow up, I want to be a rocking chair on a sunny porch.
I want to be a skyscraper.
I want to be a...
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 I want to be
a...
I want to be a...
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Molon LeBay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase Molon LeBay, which translated means come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
Hi, this is Kathy Hinners, your host of Daily Roll Call on conservativenationmedia.com.
Whether you're surrounded by friends and family or far away protecting our country, may you find joy, love, and peace. Merry Christmas!
Listening to Duke Books on conservativenationradio.org.
So tell, baby, tell your true heart.
Yes, good evening and welcome back. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. Duke Brooks here. We're about 9.5 minutes until the top of the hour. That will start hour number two of the last edition of Radio Free America for the year 2013. Cannot believe how quickly this year has flown by. It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. Time flies so fast. And, you know, the older you get, the worse it gets. Okay? I remember hearing my grandmother on one occasion say, "Oh, I can remember what happened 30 years ago like it happened yesterday, but what happened last week or earlier yesterday morning, I have no idea." And I know exactly where Augusta was coming from. Anyway, 718-305-7176. I had mentioned last night on Jennifer Meadows' program, Grit and Grace, on conservativenationmedia.com, that we were going to recap the year a little bit tonight, and you know, certainly the things that come to mind this year primarily is the revelation that the IRS was targeting conservatives, the revelation that the National Security Agency was collecting people's phone call data, the further revelation that the Department of Justice was snooping into reporters' phone records. And, you know, I thought at the time that these triple threats coming down all at the same time, especially with the reporters having their phone records subpoenaed in secret without notification, which the government traditionally has always given especially reporters, because even though journalism is not a licensed profession in this country, you know, in most foreign countries, you have to have a license to be a journalist. I mean, seriously, in the United States of America, you do not need one. Anybody can call themselves a journalist, as if that isn't painfully obvious, but I digress. I really thought this year that the press would finally say to themselves, you know what, this guy Obama is really a, you know, this guy's bad news. He's not a good guy. And I was expecting them to absolutely turn on them. They did not. And I really do not know why. They didn't, and they are still with him. They are still absolutely with him. You know, they were a little uppity during the press conference once or twice about that issue. That was it. And after that, they were just right back in the fold like the bunch of lapdogs and leftist agenda-driven Democrat National Committee talking point repeaters that they are. 718-305-7176. A story the other day that the Chinese have landed a spacecraft on the moon. They're going to gather up some samples and return them to the Earth for study. Yeah, I guess if it were up to me, I would probably say to them, you are not allowed to go to the moon. We claimed the moon. The moon is ours, and you may not go there. That's what I would do if I were president. How about you? 718-305-7176. I do expect to hear from Michael Smith at some point pretty soon. Michael is going to be calling in. You probably are aware. A month or two ago, Michael went off the air. He is no longer, as of now, he is no longer doing his program, Soldier of Patriotism, which traditionally aired Sunday afternoon. Michael is right now is a full-time dad to three of his children, and that is a very, very serious commitment. Family comes first. We are conservatives. Family comes first amongst us, and that is what Michael's commitment is now. We will probably be putting Soldier of Patriotism back on the air at some point. It could be February or March, something like that. But Michael wanted to, and I'm sure that he will, but he, you know, he's raising kids. Maybe something happened, God forbid, and he is simply not able to call in tonight. But as you are aware, I hope you're aware, starting on Christmas Eve, on coming off of our website, not off of Blog Talk Radio, but off of our website, we will be running our second annual Christmas Kids Extravaganza. And if you've got kids, and I hope that you do, you will be able to go to that website and get a letter back from Santa within 48 hours. So you may want to direct the little urchins, as Bill O'Reilly calls them, to conservativenationmedia.com for a letter from Santa Claus. But in any event, about 3 minutes now until the top of the hour. And, you know, I'm looking at something here on BTR, and I'm seeing something, I'm seeing an indication of something that I don't think is correct, but we will see what happens. I mean, you know, BTR sometimes really, really, but of course, on the other hand, I know that there are, at any given time, there could be a couple of thousand people using this platform. What they should have done with Obamacare is they should have just said to Jeff Bezos, who owns Amazon, hey, Jeff, you're a real big lefty, West Coast liberal, pinko, aren't you? Of course he is. Why don't you get your website people to design this website? We'll let you write it off as a tax deduction. How about that? That would have taken care of it. It probably would have cost Bezos $2 or $3 million out of pocket to get it done in about 5 months or maybe 5 weeks. And it wouldn't have cost the taxpayers anything. Those guys in D.C. are out of their minds. They have Potomac disease. It's almost the same as ptomaine poisoning. At least it starts with the same letter. Maybe it doesn't sound exactly the same, but those guys in D.C. are truly nuts. I mean, they are. It's not their money. It's not their money. 718-305-7176. Anyway, in the next hour, which begins in 1 minute and 2 seconds from now, Brad Bierman will be joining me, my dear friend Brad, whom I have known since 1982, I believe, 82 or 83. Brad worked at the same radio station in Syracuse where I had the wonderful job of flying and reporting traffic from the station helicopter, which I sold them when I was about 25. It's pretty unbelievable. I look back on that now and I think to myself, my God, how did I pull that one off? And number two, why am I still alive? I'm telling you, I did some. If you're watching this on your computer, you will notice that there is a slideshow associated with this program. I think you might see my ugly mug sitting there, and you will see two photographs of a couple of helicopters. I'm going to tell you more about those coming up in a short while. Right now, we're going to go ahead and take a break. And I look forward to speaking with you again on the other side. Stay right where you are. Yeah, that's right. This is, in fact, the news. And we do have Jeff Olson from Talk Radio News Service coming up. Stay where you are.
The weather's fine, but there may be a meteor shower.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Good evening. For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. The White House is releasing the findings of an outside review board which has been studying ways to improve the security and transparency of the NSA's secret surveillance programs. One of the board's key recommendations is for the NSA to give up its massive phone database, estimated by some former officials to contain more than 1 trillion records. Instead, the group says that the NSA should hand the records over to phone companies or a third party. The report's 40-plus recommendations also include barring the NSA from asking companies to build backdoors into their software so that the government may gain access to encrypted communications. Another recommendation would prohibit the NSA from undermining global encryption standards and prohibiting it from stockpiling zero-day hacking tools that can be used to penetrate computer systems and, in some cases, damage or destroy them. The White House says that President Obama will study the report during his holiday visit to Hawaii and will announce sometime in January which recommendations he wants to pursue. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
All right, welcome back. A little bit of Christmas music there. This is Radio Free America, the start of hour number two on ConservativeNationMedia.com. You know, I'll be honest with you. I am interested. You know, people say to me, hey, man, are you a football fan? You a baseball fan? Well, I don't, you know, I love the Baltimore Ravens. And I love the Baltimore Orioles, and I used to really love the Baltimore Skipjacks hockey team. Are you detecting a pattern here? I'm just strictly a Baltimore fan. Brad Bierman, however, is a Miami Dolphins and San Diego Padres fan. Isn't that right, Brad?
Yes, it is. You have good memory.
All right. How are you, my friend?
Good, Duke. Thank you. And the Dolphins and Ravens are battling for that final playoff spot in the AFC with 2 weeks to go.
Now, did you and I talked briefly about the game, not the day before yesterday, but the Sunday before that, in which there were 5 touchdowns scored in the last 2 minutes, including back-to-back 79-yard run backs for touchdowns. It was really a very exciting game. You know, I guess my question, did you watch that game and fill us in on your thoughts on Monday night's game, which if they beat Detroit, obviously, but their next opponent is the New England Patriots, and if they win that game, what is their position vis-a-vis the Dolphins?
Well, the teams are tied right now, Baltimore and Miami. The Ravens have the tiebreaker because they beat Miami head-to-head. The Ravens finish with New England at home and at Cincinnati. The Dolphins have at Buffalo this Sunday and then finish at home against the Jets. I'd have to say that it's going to probably come down to the final week, the final week's games. I would think both teams have a pretty good shot to continue winning this week. But I'd have to say also, Duke, that those two Ravens games, back-to-back against Minnesota a week ago Sunday, and then at Detroit this past Monday night, they may be the two most exciting games in Ravens history back-to-back, Super Bowl notwithstanding, in the regular season certainly.
It was pretty unbelievable. And if they somehow get to the Super Bowl again this year, it's going to be a giant stadium in Meadowlands, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Super Bowl 48 at MetLife Stadium, and they're calling it the first mass transit Super Bowl.
Who it depends about who their opponent would be, I guess, huh?
Right, in the NFC. Seattle certainly has the best record right now. I never count out the defending champions until they're out.
Yeah. It's a very
they know what it takes to win it all. They have a great coach. They have many of the same players that won it last season. They're going to be a tough out, no doubt.
Hey, what do you think of Art Donovan?
I think he was a great football player and even probably better a humorist.
Yeah. I heard a story today. There was a game, the NFL Championship game in 1958. I don't know if I've got all this right, but some people refer to that as the greatest game ever played. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, the first sudden death overtime game in NFL history, the 58 championship game at Yankee Stadium, Colts Giants.
Okay. Apparently, Art Donovan, who was with the Colts then, if I'm right about that, had tackled the Giants quarterback. And he smelled that the guy had been drinking. And he said to the Giants quarterback, and I don't even know, it wasn't
I believe
wasn't
that
Frank
was Charlie
Gifford,
Connerly.
Okay. All right. So I think Frank Gifford came after him, right?
Yeah, he was more the tailback than the quarterback.
Oh, I see. All right. Well, in any event, Art Donovan apparently said to Connerly, did you have a lot of celebrating last night or something? And Connerly said, no, but I had a couple of jolts during halftime. Okay. That is the way things were in the NFL back then. Very interesting. Can you imagine hearing this news story in 1965 or something? Frank Gifford, Garo Yeprimian, Y.A. Tittle, and Art Donovan arrested on suspicion of manslaughter at a topless bar. I mean, forget about it. That never, ever would have happened back then.
Right,
Do you think that Condoleezza Rice will ever be the commissioner of the NFL? That's what she wants to be, you know.
No, I don't think she'll ever be the commissioner. It's too much of a good old boys club.
And you really have to have some actual sports experience to have that job. You know, they're not going to turn it over to anybody. Now, I'm sure you're aware that the actor, Paul Giamatti, who played John Adams in the HBO series, and he was also in Saving Private Ryan, and he plays Abraham Zapruder in the film Parkland that came out a couple of months ago.
Uh-huh.
His father was Bart Giamatti, who had been, I believe, baseball commissioner after he was the president of Yale University, correct?
Correct.
Was he surrounded by controversy at some point?
Yes, that was the Pete Rose controversy in which he banned Pete Rose from baseball and then unfortunately died of a heart attack just a week or two after that decision came down in 19,
yeah.
88 now? Are we not? Yeah, 88,
right.
89 era, circa? Yeah.
Would have had, it might have been, you know, I remember my girlfriend at the time, Donna Foley, a University of Virginia alum, who mentioned to me that she had seen Bart Giamatti, and she said that she could tell by looking at him he was having some pretty serious health problems because he was sitting at a game and he was just chain smoking during this baseball game. But, oh well, you know, I think you and I both know what it's like to have smoked too much, and I'm glad that we're both here anyway. So what are some other key games in the NFL that are taking place this weekend?
Well, besides those division races, most divisions are still up for grabs. Beside the Ravens in the AFC North, New England could clinch if they win against the Ravens in that game in the AFC East. The AFC West is pretty much set with Denver and Kansas City, and the AFC South, Indianapolis has been leading. Still up for grabs. NFC North is still open, and the NFC East. NFC South has been, you know, primarily New Orleans and Carolina, and then Seattle, really, and San Francisco out west. I don't have the exact lineup in front of me, but safe to say, Duke, that there are, of the eight divisions, five of the eight are still in play.
Who do you like in the New England Patriots versus Baltimore that I believe is coming up on Sunday?
Right, at Baltimore. I like the Ravens, even though they're coming off a short week. I like them at home. I think they're rounding into form as the season winds down here and are playing their best football.
Well, if you're optimistic, then I'm optimistic too. So, anyway, thank you for calling in, my dear friend, and please give Cindy my very best, your lovely wife, whose dad was a Chicago White Sox, correct?
Minor leagues, yes, in the minor league system, yes.
Yeah, but even still, just having played professionally for the Chicago White Sox organization, even if you were not playing at Comiskey, that has got to be a good grief. You know, what a tremendous thing to have accomplished, the competition in, becoming a pro ball player in any sport is just so tough because the rewards are so overwhelming, you know?
Yes, and the percentage that get there are so small. And, you know, I've talked to major league players, and they all tell me the same thing. I challenge you to find something tougher in the world of sport than hitting that round spear coming at you 100 miles an hour with a piece of wood that you're swinging from the right or left side of the plate.
Yes, I've heard from quite a few people who know a lot more about sports than I do that probably the single toughest thing to do in any sport is to hit a major league fastball, 97, 99 miles, that kind of thing. It must be very, I can't even do it at a batting cage. Thank you for calling, my friend.
Thank you, Duke.
I'll be talking
enjoyed
to
it
you
as
soon.
Always,
happy
and appreciate
holidays,
it.
Buddy.
The best holidays to you, too. Thank you.
And to you. See you soon, pal. What a great guy. Let's take a quick call. You are live on Radio Free America. Who's this?
Hello, Duke. This is Ron.
Hey, Ron, how are you?
How about yourself?
Not bad. Merry Christmas to you, pal.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Absolutely.
You saw what I put on the chat room, so you know I'm steamed before I even get started.
Okay.
You know, my representative, Tom Graves, along with my senators, Isaacson and Chambliss, formed a trifecta in Georgia for me. They all voted to pass this budget deal. And it infuriates me. How in the world can these people that we elect to do what we want to do get off the reservation and vote the way they want to vote? It befuddles me. I cannot understand it.
I'll tell you what, here's the deal. Once somebody has been in Washington for more than 3 or 4 years, there is a mindset that develops there. And the mindset is basically, yeah, my constituents sent me here, but my constituents are not as important to me as all of these government employees that surround me every day are. And basically, those guys in D.C., at the end of the day, Ron, it kind of doesn't matter how conservative they are philosophically. They are going to do what is right for government. They're not going to do what's right for the people that sent them there. They care about government. And they are all singing from the same sheet of music, government first, government last, government always. Big government is good government. Bigger government is better government. And the biggest government is the best government. And that's the way those guys see things. And they couldn't care less how many of their constituents have their homes and property seized by the IRS, as long as there is not one single U.S. government employee, non-uniformed, that is ever faced with the slightest threat or challenge or possibility of maybe missing a house payment. That's just the way they think about it. They're coddling the U.S. government workforce, if you can call it that, at the expense of everybody else, and they don't care.
Well, I got a bullet of truth for them. Next fall, we're coming for them.
I hope they all get thrown out, Ron.
I mean, I have been a big follower and proponent of Tom Graves, my representative. We elected him from the 14th district. They had a gerrymandering deal, and he went from being in the 9th district, he was in the 14th. But where I live stayed with him, and I followed him. You know, that man has done. He has voted almost 100% exactly the way he needed to vote. He would vote for no new spending, no new taxes, just a perfect Tea Party politician. I mean, seriously, I'm not teasing. You can look him up. And a couple of days ago, when the House passed that budget deal over to the Senate, he was one of them that voted for it, and I couldn't believe it. I about fell out of my house on it. And then I get over and watch today on C-SPAN as Isaacson and Chambliss both voted for this thing. Now, I have called both of them twice on this thing and talked to them and left messages on their answering machine at their Washington office. These people, they go up there and they don't care about us anymore, and I'm tired of it.
No, they don't. No, they don't. They care only about getting reelected and about protecting their friends, the permanently entrenched career Washington, D.C. government employee. That's what they care about the most. That's what they care about
the
most.
They have made such a mistake.
Yes, they have. Yes, they have. Thank you. I do have to run along, but I wish you a Merry Christmas, my friend. Thank you so much for calling in, and I hope that we will be speaking again come the new year.
I'm sure we will.
All right. Thank you, my buddy, and bless you. All righty. Now then, speaking of this, well, let me just tell you that all of us at Conservative Nation Media are very proud to bring you our second annual Christmas Eve Music and Kids Extravaganza special on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. That's less than a week from now, starting at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on Christmas Eve. You can listen to hours of great traditional American Christmas music live or download it to listen when you need to be reminded of the true glory and meaning of Christmas. And you can only get it from our website, conservativenationmedia.com. And don't forget to have your kids write Santa a letter from our website or to Santa Claus at conservativenationmedia.com, and Santa will send back a personalized email within 48 hours. From all of us at Conservative Nation Media to all of you, the warmest and most joyous Merry Christmas. And, of course, as always, thanks for listening. Let me thank my friend Michael B. for listening. Michael, how are you? Merry Christmas, my brother.
Hey, my brother, how you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Hey, my pleasure.
The live there for next day.
I'm sorry, say that again?
I said I liked the live read there for next Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's it. You have been working on that assiduously and for at least the last week or two, and I know I owe you something that I was supposed to send yesterday, but I'm sorry.
Okay,
I'm going to have to send it tomorrow.
No apologies are necessary from the president and general manager of this company.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I've been working on it the last month and a half. Actually, Duke, I have had, you wouldn't believe who all stopped by Patriot Studios Texas Command. I've had Greg Lake come in and lay down a track. Dick Van Dyke has come in and done an awesome reading of 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. Nat King Cole has been in. Frank Sinatra, Vince Guaraldi. Louis Armstrong in, the great Satchmo, and Margaret Whiting, and Elvis. Yeah, Elvis is still around and has been in Patriot Studios, laid down a track for us. Orson Welles in the Campbell Playhouse with Lionel Barrymore and Johnny Mathis. We've just had I've had so many people stop in. Dean and I drank down a bottle of whiskey, and he laid down a few tracks for us. This second annual Conservative Nation Media Music Special and Kids Extravaganza is going to be 5 hours of pure heaven. I guarantee it. And the best thing about it is it's pre-recorded show, and you never know who might be in there wishing a Merry Christmas to the folks, aside from all of the great artists and you know, we're going to have the little drummer boy, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Now, this is all going to be in old-time format. It's not going to be sitting in front of the boob tube. You just turn it on, you have your family time, and you have this going in the background. If the kids want to pop around and listen to the 1943 Campbell Playhouse Christmas Carol, or the 1934 Mercury Theater, The Magi, or, you know, just have good music playing in the background, The Little Drummer Boy, all kinds of Frosty the Snowman. It's going to be music, and it's going to be shows, but rather than watch them, you'll have them playing in the background, and the mind will actually have to work. What a concept.
Oh, that's the best. The theater of the mind. You know,
yeah,
radio has been, excuse me, a perfectly acceptable and much welcomed entertainment medium way before television existed.
I think it's the best way to do it. And you and I have been working, you know, this is our second one, brother. Last year's was a bang-up success. Our numbers for a two-hour show over a four-hour period were through the ceiling. This year, Duke, as you know, you and I, we've put together a five-hour program that will start at 3 p.m. Central Time on our website at conservativenationmedia.com. You'll see there's a tab right there. It's very easy to get to. We have an event page on Facebook. Just type in Conservative Nation Radio or Conservative Nation Media, and it'll get you there. And it'll be going through midnight Christmas night. So just a little more than 24 hours for a five-hour show that a person can listen to in its entirety. They can stop and start it. They can listen to the whole thing and play it again. They can listen to it, turn it off, turn it back on the next day. It's just words can't describe, You know, in my family down here in Texas, our big day is Christmas Eve. We do tamales and chili, and we have adult beverages and beverages, and we have music in the background, and that's how we celebrate the reason for the season, the celebration of Christ our Lord. And this is kid-friendly. Well, it's conservative. I mean, you know, it's old time. There's no way for me really to describe it. People are just going to have to tune in, and I guarantee they're going to enjoy it.
Well, I know that I am, and Michael, I am really looking forward to it, and it is going to be great, and we will certainly have it on in our home here in Delaware. And I thank you for calling in, my brother.
You got it, my brother. Great job, Duke. You know, my brother, just out to your audience, you know, you do this show faithfully every week. That's what they know of you. What they don't know of you is what I know of you. The time, you know, you came down to Texas, we spent a long weekend, did business, got our business, Conservative Nation Media, which is mine and yours, and I've been absent the last few months, and you have just been doing a bang-up job, brother. I listened in to two of our shows yesterday and called into both of them, and it is just fabulous the direction that you have taken this company, and I can't thank you enough. Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart.
Thank
of course,
you,
I'll talk
friend.
To you before next week.
All right, my buddy. Thank you so much, pal, and give a great big hug to BJ and John for me, your folks, okay?
Will do. My love to Linda.
Thank you, buddy. See you soon.
Bye-bye.
All righty. Always a pleasure to hear from Michael B. We're a little bit behind, but we may as well go ahead and try to take one more phone call. You are live on Radio Free America. Who's this?
This is Christian from Denmark.
Your
faithful correspondent. Merry Christmas,
buddy.
To you, sir. I'm doing just fine and dandy over here in Copenhagen, in Denmark. Just calling in to just let your viewers or your listeners, I should say, know that something about our Prime Minister.
Well, she's like a supermodel in real life, right?
She is. She is a pretty gorgeous one. But I just wanted you to let you know that most of us Danes didn't appreciate the way she acted on that memorial service for Nelson Mandela, where she was sitting there acting like a schoolgirl. Most Danes actually was quite embarrassed by it. So it's just so that you know that, so that your listeners know that that's not the way that us Danes behaves. Us Danes behaves very polite and adult-like in those situations normally.
Yes,
but I know
that the Danes are very reserved people. They have a bit of stoicism about them.
We're very party like. We like to party. We like to have a good time in Denmark. It has been said that the Danes are the Latinos of Scandinavians.
I once heard the Koreans described as the Irish of Asia. I don't really know, but let me ask you this: what is Christmas like? In Denmark, in Scandinavia, what's it like? Do you have the Christmas tree tradition or not?
Yeah, we have the Christmas tree is very big in Denmark, and the thing is that we meet on the with our family, friends, or whatever, on the 24th of December, and have the dinner there. And then after dinner, it's singing Christmas songs, and then it's opening the gifts. And then, you know, it's having a nice time that evening. And then, you know, it's off to bed when the whole thing is done. The day after, nothing really goes on. You know, it's just relaxing. So we open the gifts a day before you guys.
Oh, and what are you going to get for Christmas this year?
The normal Danish thing is the roasted duck and pork roast. But I'm having turkey with a nice stuffing.
Right. Are you going to get presents? Do they exchange presents, or is it just simply a big
feast? Yeah,
we do
exchange presents. But it's mostly, you know, give presents to the kids, if they are any.
Mm.
Yeah.
Very fine. Well, it sounds like a... Listen, we are still trying to work out a way to get you to come over to the United States. And I would hope that...
Well, it's just nice
at
being
some
on the
point,
show. That's fine, you know.
Maybe in the summertime, we're going to work on it. We're a very small company, and we don't have a ton of resources, but I want to get you over here,
but
and I want to get you to Texas.
You don't have to do that. We're kind of you, but you don't have to. It's okay.
Yeah, but you want to come over here,
but,
don't you?
We can take that off air sometime.
All right. Well, listen, I've got to get going, but I've got some business I have to take care of here. But thank you so much for calling in, and a Merry Christmas
and I wish
to you
the,
and yours
and I wish
to everyone in Denmark.
And all the best to all of your listeners in this festive. Merry Christmas to you guys.
Thank you so much, Christian, and I look forward to talking to you again right after the new year.
Hi.
See you soon, and a Merry Christmas to you, and a Happy New Year, too, and all that stuff. About 28 minutes now, 29 minutes before the end of this last 2013 edition of Radio Free Delmarva, Radio Free America. I don't know why I keep, you know, I said that all the time for years. That was the name of my old show at GMD, Radio Free Delmarva. But this is Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. You know, one of the worst things that can possibly happen to an American nowadays is to be victimized with the crime of identity theft. It is a very serious problem. It is a major debilitating crime. If it happens to you, and I hope it doesn't, it might take months or even longer to recover from it. That is, if you can recover at all. Many victims have not recovered. So don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance and sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information. Using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service, 24/7, 365, there really is nothing that even comes close to LifeLock. So to protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off of their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. You will be very glad that you did. The network may not cover all transactions, and the scope may vary. More of your calls coming up, and since yesterday was the 110th anniversary of the first powered flight by human beings, I thought maybe we could talk about that a little bit. Stay right where you are.
A single ember from a wildfire can travel over a mile. It can ignite and destroy your home and even your community. To that ember, all those branches hanging over your roof might as well be giant matchsticks ready to spark. The pile of dry leaves and twigs clogging your gutters are the perfect kindling to start a fire. And all those debris piles and brush around your yard, which you haven't taken care of yet, are pure lighter fluid, ready to ignite. There are some fire hazards that aren't clearly marked, and they can impact you and your neighbors. Learn to spot them, because your home is better protected from wildfire damage when your whole community is prepared. Visit fireadapted.org for more tips on how to get started adapting your home and community to wildfires. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
I'm making beef sliders for my friend Sammy. Nana taught me to always pull meat off the grill early, so it's extra juicy.
Use a food thermometer to ensure ground beef is 160 degrees, or you could make people really sick.
Sandy didn't think twice about the slider she ate until yoga class, when a nasty case of food poisoning turned her downward-facing dog into upward-moving lunch. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov and learn the steps Maria unwittingly leaves out. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Hello, I am Robert Garding of the New Wise Conservatism radio show, heard on Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central, through conservativenationmedia.com. Being on the air since 2007 from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom, we've helped people become more informed to keep socialists out of the White House and Congress. But that work isn't over yet. Tune in Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on CNN for the New Wise Conservatism radio show, the voice of reason in our unreasonable world.
Hey liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change? You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. Duke Brooks is my name. The number is 718-305-7176. Thanks very much for being along tonight. I had sent out a memo to our Tuesday hosts, who are, without question, they are the best in Internet radio. At 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 Central, 6 p.m. Mountain Time and 5 Pacific on Tuesday nights, we are very honored to have the program A Just Cause, Coast to Coast, with Sam Thurman, Cliff Stewart, and Ethel Lopez from the Colorado exoneration firm A Just Cause in Colorado Springs. And then 2 hours later, we have the Grit and Grace radio show with Jennifer Meadows and her band of merry men and people that join Jennifer every Tuesday night. She's down there in the heart of Dixie, and these are two absolutely fantastic Internet radio programs. Love them both. And because yesterday was December 17th, 2013, it was the 110th anniversary of the first powered flight, which, if you don't know that this was accomplished by the Wright brothers, who were a couple of bicycle technicians, mechanics, from Dayton, Ohio. I don't know who taught you or whether you were taught at all, because everybody ought to know that. So anyway, I sent out a goof memorandum to Sam Thurman, who leads A Just Cause on Tuesday nights, and another one to Jennifer Meadows, who follows up Sam with Grit and Grace Radio on Tuesday night, that because yesterday was the 110th anniversary of the Wright brothers, that I expected them to be speaking primarily about the very early history of heavier-than-air aviation. And that was a joke. It was a goof. Neither one of them are particularly, none of the four actually are, as far as I know, are particularly interested in flying. It was a goof. It was a joke. However, I am very interested in flying. And, you know, you get on board an airliner today, a big Boeing or an Airbus or something like that. And as Michael mentioned a few minutes ago, around Labor Day, I did fly down to Dallas. It was wonderful. I like Dallas. It is a great place. Michael lives in Westerberry. He lives in Fort Worth. And Dallas-Fort Worth is a huge metropolitan area. It is giant. It spreads out all. It's not all vertical the way New York City is. It spreads out all over the place, kind of like L.A. But you know, you get on board the airliner, you kind of take it for granted. I like to sit next to the window and look out because I can see the spoilers, the slats, the flaps, the ailerons, and the trim tabs and everything else on the wings working. Very interesting. I've been a pilot my whole life, so I just think that that stuff is very interesting. But we take it for granted. And the fact of the matter is the Wright brothers were geniuses beyond, these guys were, they were extraordinarily, basically, here's what, you know, this is the environment of 1903. One of the big expressions back then was, somebody is asked to do something that they can't do, that is not possible, the answer might be, I could no more do that than I can fly. And that was the world of 1903. And you had had in the late 19th century, Germans, Otto Lilienthal was a glider. He was a hang glider. He had built these gliders, and he could fly in them, and he had come up with some tables that purported to represent the way airfoils would work at certain airspeeds and with certain gross weights attached and things like that and at certain angles. And then Otto Lilienthal got killed in a glider accident. A guy named Octave Chanute was another Western European aeronautical experimenter. The Wright brothers had built a series of gliders. I used to know exactly, I think their dad was, I believe, was a Methodist bishop in Dayton, Ohio. And their dad had brought home a play device. If you can imagine a stick with a propeller mounted on one end of it, on the top end, and a string wrapped around this stick many, many times, and the stick placed into the core or spool or bobbin, I guess, of a of thread, and you would hold that thread wooden core and pull the string, and that stick, that dowel with the propeller on top of it, of course, would begin to spin, and it would develop enough lift that it would launch out of the spool of thread, which had no thread on. And that apparently is what got them interested in flight. When they were, you know, one was 7 and the other was 12 or something, you know, I don't even know. But they were the first people to look at flight as a series of problems to be solved. And they were able to break it down into a couple of separate, distinct, discrete problems that had to be solved. I'll tell you about that in a moment. That's one of the approaches that they took that ultimately made them successful here in America. All these great things, they all happen in America. Hey, we are still the freest country on earth, and those of us who love our country know that the Constitution is the reason for our liberties. ConservativeNationMedia.com isn't going to let those leftists in D.C. take our freedoms away. And our very own constitutional expert, Matthew Opalisky, is leading that charge. You got to listen up to Matthew every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central for the Liberty and Constitution community to learn about our rights and freedoms under the greatest governing document of all time, and what you can do to protect your liberty under the Bill of Rights. The Liberty and Constitution Community with Matthew Opalisky, Thursdays at 10, although tomorrow He will be coming to us at 8, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America indeed does always win. I have a feeling that we're going to be hearing from that tutional Matthew guy in a few minutes, and I don't mean a postcard. Anyway, 718-305-7176 is the number. We're talking a little bit about the Wright brothers. Yesterday was the 110th anniversary of their first flight at a place called Kill Devil Hill, which is near Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, on December 17th, 1903. Now, we're going to take a quick break, more of your calls, and a little bit more about the Wright brothers coming up, so don't go away.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Wow, yeah, since the storm, it's been crazy busy for us. We got all kinds of office desks coming in. Now, here's a fancy one right here. It's missing a leg, but that's all right. Whatever. Washers and dryers from a laundromat. Oh, wow, and check this out. Another deep fryer. And I'm not sure what this doohickey is. Yeah, most businesses weren't ready for a storm like that, you know. But our work's really piling up here at Roberts & Son Salvage.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency. And 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
Adopting a new pet is a rewarding experience. And Shelter Pets make super pets. Your new best friend will steal your heart, bring you happiness, and enrich your life for years to come. You can make a difference in the life of an animal. Adopt and bring home a Shelter Pet today. To find out more, visit theshelterpetproject.org. This message has been brought to you by the Humane Society of the United States, Maddie's Fund, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Dave Vance inviting you to join me every Monday night for Inside Tennessee on conservativenationmedia.com. Even if you're not from the volunteer state, you'll want to know what's happening because one day it will affect you. Every week you'll hear interviews with experts, legislators, and citizens who are fed up and making a stand. So join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central Time for Inside Tennessee on conservativenationmedia.com.
ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Now you know how nice it feels in the
sea. All righty, welcome back to Radio Free America on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America, in fact, always wins. As soon as we get those leftists out of Washington, that is going to be an even more regular occurrence. I'm just optimistic anyway. 718-305-7176 is the number. We've been talking a little bit about the Wright brothers. And the Wright brothers, you know, they observed the fact that there were some scientists in the world who had decided to seriously investigate and pursue the idea of being able to build what was known as a flying machine back then, the word plane, which we call it today an airplane. Back then, when the word first came into use, it was an aeroplane. Some people will still call it an aeroplane. Anybody that calls it a bird, you know, I don't get that. I don't. Somebody once called my old helicopter a craft. I don't get that either, but I digress. In any event, the Wright brothers, decided that they were going to pursue the problem of flight, and they broke it down into three distinct and separate areas that they could attack individually. Problems, the three areas were lift, power, and control. They were pretty sure that they could come up with an airfoil, a wing design, that would generate lift. They had internal combustion engines. They were pretty sure that they could come up with one that had the right combination of power and weight to move the aircraft through the air. But they were stumped by the problem of control. They just could not figure out how to get the airplane to climb, descend, turn, or bank in flight. And that's what they worked on. Now, before we go into additional, well, I was about to put Matthew Opalisky on the air, and Matthew just, he kind of ducked out on me, but Matthew, I do want you to call back in. And I want to get him on the air because he has a very good show lined up for tomorrow night with the Liberty and Constitution community. So Matthew should give us a call back in. Anyway, that is what is going on. So why don't we go ahead and put Matthew back on the air as soon as we can. Okay, well, Matthew came and he went again. I don't know. I think that there is something going on with, all right, let's give this one more time. All right, Matthew, are you with me?
Oh, good evening, Duke. How are you?
Hey, what's going on? Merry Christmas, my buddy.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you and to Linda.
Oh, thank you. And to Mrs. O as well. I don't think I've ever met your wife or your kids, and I hope that I...
Yeah, she's not the political flower that I am. So she's not really into hanging out with all the boring political folks. So yeah, you probably never met her, and probably to be honest with you, it would take me I don't know what I could do to try and drag her to some kind of political event, but maybe that'll be the case one day. Who knows?
Well, no wonder you didn't make it to the GOP Christmas party on Saturday night. A lovely time was had by all, but that's all right. But
well, that's
so
good.
Anyway,
that's and, you know, it's funny. It's funny you mention that. I've actually there have been times where I've bought tickets to dinner, at different events, whether it be like a candidate dinner or whatever, and bought two tickets for me and the wife, and at the last minute she always backs out. So it is what it is.
Yeah. That's the way it goes. Now, you've got a pretty high-powered guest tomorrow night on Liberty and Constitution Community, which tomorrow night and until the 9th of January will be coming at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 Central.
Yeah, we've been we started out a little bit over a month ago. We started out in the 10 o'clock hour, and we jumped to the 8 o'clock hour, and now that Lisa Richards is going to be joining us, I'm going to jump back to the 10 o'clock hour so she can do rock and roll, rock and roll politics from 8 to 10, and then I'll follow that up. Tomorrow night, in the first hour, from 8 to 9, and I don't know if he's going to hang around for the whole hour, but, he's more than welcome to. I have Tim Wade, who is the Virginia State Coordinator for the 10th Amendment Center on, and he's going to be on to talk about, there are different campaigns they have going on right now, like nullification, where they're trying to get different states similar to what South Carolina is doing to basically nullify the effects of the Affordable Care Act. So that'll probably be a lot of the discussion, but the 10th Amendment and the 10th Amendment Center, you could just take that into so many different angles and tangents that I'm sure there will be plenty to talk about if we run out of Affordable Care Act issues to talk about, which, that could probably take up a six-hour show in and of itself.
Mm-hmm. More than that, it's 2,000 pages long, They can't get the website to work. The people that put it together hate free enterprise, free market economics, but I digress.
Yeah, there's a whole, I mean, so, let's say, even if we could debate the inner workings of it, all I have to do is say, look, it was a tax bill, because that's how they defended it in court. The bill was
right.
A tax bill, a revenue bill that originated in the Senate. That's all I need to know that it's not law. Because
under
all tax
Article 1, Section 3, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, all revenue bills must originate in the House.
Yeah.
That's how they chose to defend it in court. Was that the revenue or the tax, you know, however you want to call it, a revenue bill, tax bill, whatever. And that's how it was upheld as a tax. And that's what kind of – it sends the American view or, you know, the founding principles of the country on its ear when not only did we have somebody in Chief Justice Roberts who upheld the bill, but to call it a tax and knowing that it – if it originated in the Senate, well, it certainly can't be a tax. So it just makes you want to, I don't know, it causes a duct tape kind of moment. You know what I'm saying?
Article 1, Section 7 of the United States Constitution, quote, all bills for raising revenue shall originate in the House of Representatives, semicolon, but the Senate may propose or concur with amendments as on other bills, unquote. That is the first two clauses of Article 1, Section 7.
Do you remember what the bill was that produced the Affordable Care Act? Do you know the designation?
It was S-44 or something, wasn't it?
As soon as you said S, that's all I needed to hear.
Yeah, yeah, that's
to
right.
To know that it can't stand. So... yeah, so we've got, like I said, we've got Tim Wade with the 10th Amendment Center will be on tomorrow night. And then, like I said, in the second hour, there's a lot of cases that are going on right now having to do with the Second Amendment. And one of them, as a matter of fact, I think the ruling just came out. It was, I believe it was the 11th Circuit out in California where the 11th Circuit judge, I'm going to pronounce it wrong, but it's I-S-H-I-I. So let's just assume it's Ishii. Circuit Court Judge Ishii ruled, and I believe it was a 10 or maybe it was an 11-page ruling, that what California calls the – they have a designation for it. It's the waiting – it is the mandatory waiting period. They call it a WPL, waiting period law. He has ruled that the waiting period law is an infringement to the Second Amendment. So I'm assuming what's going to follow is possibly waiting periods are maybe on the way out the door. Maybe they're basically what he said was that waiting periods put a burden on the Second Amendment right, because a right denied is a right,
a right delayed is a right denied.
Yeah, a right delayed is a right denied. So that's an interesting story in and of itself. And then there's, like I said, there's several other Second Amendment cases that could be talked about in the second hour if we even have time.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be great, and of course I will be listening. I hope everybody else will too. And my buddy, thank you for calling in, and a Merry Christmas to you and yours.
All right, Merry Christmas, dude.
Thank you, Matt. See you soon, pal. All righty, that will be the Liberty and Constitution community tomorrow night, which you do not want to miss. Anyway, we've got less than a minute to go here. However, the Wright brothers were geniuses, absolutely no question about it. They came up with a way of controlling the aircraft by warping the wings. We use ailerons now. But the way they pursued the problems of aerodynamics is what led them to the method that they did use for control of their aircraft, the Wright Flyer, which in its life only flew 3 times on that one day, and they never flew that airplane again. In any event, I do want to wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas. Thank you for being along tonight. It has been a wonderful year, and I look forward to speaking with you again on Wednesday, January 8th. Have a Merry Christmas, everyone.